Maybe you think about issues in Hawaii. Maybe you think about them a lot. But what does it take to make those issues touch you enough to engage? This afternoon, a man who found himself drawn into the issue of homelessness through his encounter with a schizophrenic cellist will lead those discussions. You may know about his experience from his book that became the film The Soloist. And we're very pleased to welcome LA Times columnist Steve Lopez in our studio this morning. Thank you for being here.
Well, it's good to be here. Thank you.
There's this strange thing that happens when you just know that you have to get involved with something. It's not academic anymore. It's not just something that you may, you know, care about peripherally, but that just draws you in. Do you have any idea from all of your experience in writing about people and the things that they deeply care about and your own experience with Nathaniel Ayers, what really is that magical thing that draws somebody in?
Well, can I make a confession? When I was
here
drawn,
on the radio, sure.
Yes, just between the two of us, let me make a confession. When I was drawn in, it was a selfish interest. As you noted, I'm a columnist, and I'm out on the street looking for columns. And what I saw the day that this whole adventure began for me was a guy standing on a street corner near the Beethoven statue in downtown Los Angeles playing a violin that was missing two strings. And playing with all his heart. This guy was intense. And I noticed that he was standing next to a shopping cart that appeared to contain all of his belongings. And on the side of it, he had written Little Walt Disney Concert Hall. And in Los Angeles, the big Walt Disney Concert Hall is the home of the LA Philharmonic. It's a few blocks away. So all I'm thinking is, I'm not thinking I'm going to save the world today. I'm going to, solve homelessness and deal with mental health, public policy. All I thought was, this guy could be a column. So that's my confession. But what happened?
But
was
somehow, that good story changed. I mean, very clearly, you could have walked away, Steve.
I could have, I suppose. But he charmed me. His name, as you said, is Nathaniel Ayers. He grew up in Cleveland. He took a music class in public school. He was so good and practiced so hard. He got a scholarship to Ohio University and then later to the Juilliard School for the Performing Arts in New York. And the more I spent time with him and the more I learned from him, the more committed I became to the cause. And so at a certain point, it was no longer about the columns. It was about this guy who I respected and even admired and even looked up to. And I thought, well, you see somebody on the street, they're talking to themselves, they're disheveled. The natural, instinct is to move away and to avoid any kind of contact. And what I learned from Nathaniel is that so many of those folks have a story. They've met with some trauma. They've been struck down often through no fault of their own. In his case, diagnosed when he was at Juilliard, when he was in an orchestra with Yo-Yo Ma, diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia, and a career that was about to take off instead went off the cliff. And here he was struggling for years to just make something of his life and so determined to get back on track that he's playing that violin, missing two strings, can't afford the other two strings, doesn't know how he's going to get them. And I just thought that said so much about who's out there. And when I spent time with him on the streets, when I spent a night with him on Skid Row, I looked around and we have literally thousands of people. I mean, we're about 50,000 people homeless in greater LA. And I began to meet people who didn't go to Juilliard, but had some story of a break. It was a mental health thing, or they were combat veterans back from wars and they were, broken mentally, physically, psychologically. They missed a mortgage payment. They lost a job. They had domestic, issues. They were on the streets. They had undiagnosed mental disorders. They needed to self-medicate. They took a drink. They hit a crack pipe, and their lives were out of control. And that is who's out there, whether it's Honolulu, whether it's Los Angeles, New York. There are some predators. There are some folks out there who are trying to get over on somebody, but a lot of folks are brothers and sisters and sons and daughters who had a bad break and are out of control. And what really began to upset me as I looked at this more is that we know how to address this. We know what works, and there just has not been enough of a public commitment to it.
But the first thing that you talked about in terms of the engagement part is understanding that these are people, and these are people with stories, and these are people with lives. They're not something that's nameless, faceless, some sort of, you know, a commodity that should be pushed away,
right.
That these are living, breathing people. Now, before we let you go on about other things I want to talk to you about, just very briefly, what's happening with Nathaniel Ayers today? I'm sure a lot of people want to know that.
Okay, I just hit my 10-year anniversary with Nathaniel. It's been 10 years that we've been pals, and I've been trying to help him through this system. It took a year to talk him into housing, and that's one thing for people to, this is an important point for me to make, because you might see somebody out there and the police say, hey, there's a bed at the shelter. If you don't want to take it, then the heck with you. Why should we even bother? It takes what's known in the industry as outreach in order to gain somebody's trust, because they might be dealing with a serious mental disorder, and you start with meeting them where they are. Are you hungry? Here's a sandwich. Are you cold? Here's a jacket. Would you like to take a shower? Come back to the shelter. And you work on it from there to try to reel them in and make them comfortable in a new setting and provide them with these services. So that's how this can all begin. And in Nathaniel's case, that worked. But it took a year. It took a year to get him into housing. He's had some issues in housing. And now for about the last year and a half, he's been in a mental health recovery center where he is better than he's been in the 10 years I've known him. He is, he's mellowed out. He's playing hours and hours and hours of music. Each day I go to visit him once a week, usually taking him fixed instruments that he wanted me to repair for him. So our relationship is strong and as good as ever.
I want to ask you about your latest column, the one about the Mendez Reading Club at the high school that came out over the weekend. When you talk to the kids, and of course they're in this column talking to you about the fact that they're reading every Monday, like today, but do you have a sense that some of these kids are more prone to being engaged, or is there something magical about what's happening in certain little pockets that we're not paying attention to enough that perhaps we should?
Well, let me set this up for you. Mendez High School is in the Boyle Heights area of Los Angeles, just east of downtown. And there are a lot of kids dealing with a lot of socioeconomic issues, and they come to school, and they do not come from environments where there are books in the house. Both parents might be working. The parents haven't been to college, so it's not that easy to get kids interested in books. But two teachers there, Rebecca Cariaga and Kim Lang, went out of their way to find books that would appeal to the specific interests of this student or that. And they lured them in with pizza, come on to the library, let's start this reading club. And they got hooked on books. And now I got a chance to walk with them to an L.A. Reads event last week. The whole city is reading and talking about a book called Into the Beautiful North by Luis Urrea.
Well, I love the column, and I'm glad to know that at least some kids are still reading, particularly there in Boyle Heights. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wish we had more time to talk.
All right.
Steve Lopez is an award-winning L.A. Times columnist. His national honors include the H.L. Mencken and Ernie Pyle Awards. He was also the 2011 Pulitzer Prize finalist for his elder care columns. Steve Lopez will be leading discussions on civic engagement later today. You can find the details on our Facebook page, Hawaii Conversation.